Well, good morning, church. Good to be with everybody here this morning. Thank the Lord for all of you making it out here. I want to tell you something. This is just something I want to tell you. God is good, and I'm going to tell you why God's good. I lost the brakes on my truck. My septic tank plugged up, and I was in the hospital Monday. But God is good. Let me tell you why. I explained one of it to Greg. I was coming home before Thanksgiving. My brakes went out of my truck as I was coming home because two deer jumped out in front of me, so I hit the brakes hard, and the brake line busted. I went right between the deer, didn't even touch them. Drove it on home, got it in the parking lot. I got to get it fixed here shortly, but I just haven't had a chance to get it up there. My septic tank plugged up on New Year's Day. So I'm out there for 2 days in the rain trying to mess with that, and couldn't get it. I went to bed Sunday night praying about it. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, sweaty, clammy, the room spinning, and Tink immediately rushed me to the hospital. They thought I was having a heart attack. And when I got there, they did all the tests and stuff, and hear what it was, they think I had an inner ear infection. By the time I got home, the guys were there to work on the septic tank and had it unplugged. God is good. God is good all the time. I'm just here to tell you, you know, sometimes we look at things and we think things are bad and we think, oh, God, why you do it? You know what? God is good whenever the times are bad, and God is good whenever they are good times, because God is God alone. Amen. Praise his name this morning. I just thank him for the opportunity of being in his house here this morning. A lot of sickness going on out here. A lot of sickness in the church right now. There is. I mean, there's people just the flu and the COVID and just different things like that. But praise God, I believe we're going to get through it, and we're going to get through it fine. Amen? Because we serve the true and the living God. I'm going to, Ken was teaching there. I'm going to continue to hunt with that dog. Have you ever heard that story? Have you ever heard that saying before? I'm going to continue to hunt with that dog. Because you know, if you got a good dog and you got a good lesson, you can hunt. We're going to continue with that. I'm going to be over in Jeremiah, the 4th chapter, if you want to turn there. I got something to read to you. This is totally not to do with the sermon here this morning, but I love this. I read this here this past week or so, and I printed it off, but I want to read it to you. It's about a guy by the name of Dr. Paul Ruskin. And he's of the American Medical Association. He's a professor at a college. And he published an article. It was called The Stages of Aging. This is what it's called. Well, anyway, he was teaching a class, and he went into the class, and he did a case study on a patient. So he went into his class, and this is what he told him. This is what he told him about the patient. The patient neither speaks nor comprehends the spoken word. This is what he's talking about. Sometimes all that you get out of it is babbling. That's all you get out of this patient. Now, and because it's incoherent for hours, this patient is incoherent for hours, really. She is disoriented about people, places, and things. At times, she does, however, respond to her name. She will, this lady, this doctor said it, she would respond to the name. But she said, I've worked with her for the past 6 months, but she still shows complete disregard for her physical appearance. She does, you know, this is how incoherent she is, and makes no effort to assist in her own care. She must be fed, she must be bathed, she must be clothed. You know, this is how incoherent she really is and stuff like that. But anyway, by others, she has no teeth, unfortunately. She has no teeth. Her food has to be pureed. Any clothes she wears, because of constant drooling, because she has no, they're just ruined. She does not walk. Her sleep patterns are erratic. Often she wakes in the middle of the night screaming. This guy's a case study. This guy's been taking care of her. Awakens most of the time, she's friendly and happy, but several times a day she gets quite agitated without any apparent reason. Then she will wail until someone comes to give her a little bit of comfort. That's what she does. So he presented that to his class. And then after presenting it to the class and challenging it, he said this to him. He said, He asked the student, would any of them like to come and help care for her? Because he goes, he cares for her, you know. He said, would any of you like to come and help care for her? No one volunteered. No one at all volunteered. And Dr. Ruskin said, well, I'm surprised that none of you offered to help. You know, because they're in a class to handle this kind of stuff, you know. And I'm surprised none of you come, no one volunteered. I'm surprised none of you offered to help, because actually, he said, she's my favorite patient. And he goes on to explain, I get immense pleasure from taking care of her. I'm learning so much from her. She has taught me the depths of gratitude I never knew before. She has taught me the spirit of unwavering trust. And she has taught me the power of unconditional love. Then Dr. Bernstein said, let me show you a picture of her. So he reaches in his billfold, pulls out a picture, and here it's his six-month-old daughter. You get it?
Yep.
It's all in perspective. It's all in perspective. See, those students didn't understand what he was talking about. Here he's talking about his baby daughter. And a baby is like that. It's all in perspective. I read that, I thought that was so good. I thought that was so good, because so many times we look at things in a totally different light than what God wants us to look at it in, right?
Yep.
We do. And I'm just thankful this morning that we serve that kind of a God. All right, Jeremiah, the fourth chapter, the third verse. When you get there, let's stand. I'm going to read the first three verses, actually. 4:1-3. If thou will return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou will put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Now this is a key verse. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and of Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among the thorns. Break up your fallow ground. Let us pray. Father, if we come, Lord, this morning, I want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, that I have to be before you. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would help us, Father, to just grow in your grace, your knowledge, your understanding, Lord. I pray, Father, that as we do that, Lord, I pray, Father, that, Lord, we could draw closer to you, Lord, and be what you'd have us to be, and we will give you the praise for it all in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. This is going to be my 2020 sermon. I haven't had a chance here lately. Of course, I haven't been here for a couple of weeks, but this is going to be my New Year's sermon to you this morning. There's a word in that scripture that I just read to you that I want you to grab a hold of, and that's the word your. That's your. Break up your fallow ground. Now, I want to tell you something. I can't break up Greg's fallow ground. I can't break up Doug's fallow ground. Patty's fallow ground. I can't do any of that. But what the Bible was saying is you need to break up your fallow ground. And that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. I want to get into that here in a little bit. Break up means, you know what it means? It means to turn over. It means to dig up. It means to plow up. It's not somebody else's ground. It's your ground that needs to have that done to it. It's your fallow ground. Now I know, and also, as I read the scripture, I'm going to take some scripture from Matthew 13 as well. And so I want them to go along, and this is the parable. Some people call it the parable of the seeds, you know, over there. It could very well just be called the parable of the soil. Do you know that? Because a lot of that has to deal with over in Matthew 13. It has to deal with how the soil is prepared. That's what it has to deal with. And I've preached on Matthew 13 on numerous occasions. I really have. And we know over Matthew 13, it says this. Some seed fell by the wayside. It said some seed fell upon stony ground. It said some fell among the thorns. And if others fell unto good ground. But it's not about how, what I'm talking about is, it's how all the ground was prepared. So just keep that in mind as we go into this sermon, as I continue into it. I had thought, whenever I heard about fallow ground, you know what I thought it was? And maybe you guys thought this too, until I really started digging into it a little bit. I often thought that fallow ground was ground that had been plowed at one time and just needed to be. That was my thinking of it. But fallow ground had never been touched before. Fallow ground had never ever been cleared off, had never ever had the trees removed, had never ever had the stumps removed, had never ever had anything done to it. This is what it's about. I thought it was something that meant that it was laying dormant for some period of time. It wasn't. That's not what it means. It means, and after I figured it out, bam, you know, in my mind, and after I figured it out, I found it out what it means. It means unplowed, untouched ground. And man, I thought that just opened up so much to me on this. It means ground that had never been messed with. Ground that had never had anything ever planted on it before. So with that prophet, what the prophet Jeremiah was saying in Jeremiah 43, break up your fallow. He's talking spiritually to a nation and to individuals. And what I would like to do this morning is talk to you as individuals here this morning. Because I believe it's time for us, me included, to break up our fallow ground. To break it up. To prepare it. To make it ready. Because, and you say, well, David said, well, I'm saved. That's fine. Understand that. I'm not if you're saved, there's been some ground that's already been plowed up and has some stuff removed. But do you understand there may be areas of your life that you're not allowing God to touch, that you're not allowing God to get a hold of, and that He's wanting to, and that He's wanting to produce on that ground. But brothers, you have kept Him from doing it. And I'm telling you, it is high time to break up the fallow ground. Let God have His way. If you look at it, God is giving them a warning. He's telling the nation here, listen. He said, listen, guys, enough of this. I've already blessed you. You've already had ground that's been plowed and prepared, and you've been blessed by that ground. And I'm talking in a spiritual sense, but you've just let it go, and you've let it be. And now, listen to me, you not only got to take care of that, you need to plow up new ground. You need for more blessings to come. If you want to feel and see the power of God in your life, you're going to have to break up the fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. You're going to have to do it. Plant spiritual seed where you've never planted it before. There's all of us that can attest to that. All of us here that are born again, like I said, have been plowed ground before in our lives. We've had to. We've been blessed by that. We've all worked. We've all toiled at one time in our life. If you're saved, to rid yourself of some stone, to rid yourself of some stumps, to rid yourself of some roots. You've done that, and we in our life, we've just like it says in Hebrews 12:1, we've laid aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We've gotten things growing the first time. Praise God. Praise God. If you're saved in here, you need to praise God for being saved. But I want to tell you something. This is 2022. This isn't back when you got saved. Praise God. He wants us to grow. I say this, and I say it ad nauseum sometimes. But brother and sister, if you have not grown since this time last year, you're not growing, you're standing still. Matthew 13:8 says, I said, we've all gotten, others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. You see, we have produced some, but we haven't reached our full potential. We haven't. I'm sorry, but we haven't. What are we doing planting seed, but they didn't bother? What they were doing was, if you look at Jeremiah, they were planting seed, but they weren't. They planted the seed in ground where it wasn't even prepared to plant seed in. That's what they were doing. Anyone that has ever been into planting or into growing a garden or planting flowers knows what happens whenever the ground has not been properly prepared. I know a lot of people in your garden, they know. You don't get much of a harvest. You just don't go out and throw your corn just on top of the ground out without plowing it up, without preparing the seed. I put out corn for deer, so I know this, what happens. You put out corn on top of the ground, guess what gets it? You got the crows, you got the deer, you got the squirrels, you got everything else, get it. The enemy comes in and takes it all. I'm so here to tell you, if you're going to do it right, the soil has to be prepared right. You won't get much of a harvest if you don't. I'm old enough to remember back whenever I was a kid, I remember the farmers back where I lived. They would go out and they would take stretches of land at a time and they would cut the trees down. They would take and they would dig the roots up. They would take and they would brush hog it or clear it off, however they had to do. And then they would plow it up and then they would plant corn on it. I remember them doing that. And I remember them having stumps piled up everywhere and they burn them. And praise God. I'm only here to tell you this morning, brother and sister, there are people sitting here or maybe listening to me that, you know what? They've cut the trees down, but they've left the stumps in the ground. And sometimes the stuff sprouts up through. You need to dig the roots up and you need to put them in a pile and you need to burn them spiritually. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. They would cut those trees down. They would pile them up and they would burn them. And you know what else they would do? Have you ever walked in the woods and seen a big pile of rocks out in the woods? A rock pile? You know where they got those? They got those from where they cleared the land off. They took and they put them out there and they'd pile them up. I remember seeing lots of them back home whenever I hunted. They'd pile them up in the woods and that's where they'd put them. Brothers and sisters, if you're going to grow, if you and I are going to grow spiritually in 2022, I believe the Lord is showing me that we need to plow up the fallow ground. That is the ground that we've not allowed God to touch in our lives for whatever reason. And we need to dig up the roots. We need to cut the trees down. We need to get the rocks out of it. And we need to get that stuff out of our lives. And we need to move on and serve Him with everything that we got. A lot of work. But you know what? There's a lot of work, but you know, you didn't plant seed in the middle of the forest. You don't do it. And we don't plant seed from the Lord in ground and soil that's not been prepared. If they prepared the soil right, I'm going to tell you what, when they prepared that soil right, they got a harvest in the fall. If that soil is prepared right, let's apply that same analogy to our prayer lives, to our spiritual lives this morning. Let's apply that to our Bible reading this morning and to our giving of our time and of our finances. Let's apply that to all that. Because I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, there are times I have talked and I have counseled and I have talked to people that, you know what, Greg, they were fine with one part of your life. You could talk to them about anything, but you start talking to them about their finances. Oh, now wait a minute. You start talking to them about their prayer lives. Now wait a minute, and I pray, and you start talking to them about their Bible reading. You see, they don't want to, they're fine with one part of their area. God, you only go so far, but don't go any farther than this. I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants every bit of you. He wants every bit of you. He wants everything about you this morning. The soil has to be prepared for the seed to germinate. It has to germinate properly. What obstacles are hindering your spiritual growth here this morning? What is it? I mean, I can't look inside, pull you open and look inside of it. I can tell you what hinders mine. And I know, if you're honest with yourself, you know what's hindering you this morning as well. What trees or stumps or rocks are stopping you from the Word of God from transforming areas of your life into something that is truly amazing? Do you believe we serve a God that can make things amazing in your life? I do that. I do. I believe that we serve a God that can make things in your life truly amazing. He really can. Listen, this is not just a message for 2022, by the way. This should be a message for every day of our life. Absolutely, it should be. There are areas of our lives that need to be prepared for the seed of God's Word to take root. Am I right? We read this Word sometime and then we go right over top of it and we do not allow it to take root into our hearts. We don't allow it. We just read it. Oh, yeah, that's a really good verse of Scripture. I mean, Ken read one this morning, and I'm going to get into this here in a little bit. He said, "Ask if you abide in me and ask anything in my name, what did it say? It's going to happen." Listen to me. There are times in our life we read that, we read it, and then we just Go, well, you know, that's just, listen to me. That's God's word. We're going to get into that here in just a little bit. Listen, there are individuals here who need to plow up the fallow ground. The church needs to plow up fallow ground. This church, I'm talking about Drift Run, not the church. The church needs to too. But this church as well needs to plow up the fallow ground and get prepared for a greater harvest. Because I believe that God has got a harvest for us if the soil prepared right, if things are right in this church, if it's right in our lives, if we got the soil right, there is a greater harvest that can come. There are areas of each of our lives, and I'm talking spiritually here. This is not only trees need to be removed. We need the stumps removed, we need the rocks removed, and we need the thorns removed out of our lives. I'm not talking about the lost. I'm talking about the born again. The lost need to be saved. Amen. I'm talking about us that need to get some stumps and some rocks and some trees and some briars and some thorns out of our lives this morning so we can go on and serve God in spirit and in truth. Break up your fallow ground. I feel one of the biggest mistakes we make is that we become satisfied where we're at. We do. I've done it. That's a mistake that I have made in my life. And I've said that before. We keep dealing with the ground that's already been plowed. We keep dealing with the ground that's already been, that God is already blessing us on. And there's nothing wrong with that. But don't you think if there's more out there that we'd want to go get it? We keep dealing with that. Pastor, I'm saved. What more can be done? Let me put it in a word. There's a lot more that can be done. There's a lot more that can be done. There are at least 25 verses in the Bible that deal with spiritual growth. Did you know that? I'm just going to read one of them. I want you to look those up down through the week. But they deal with spiritual growth in your life. I'm going to read Psalms 92, 12 and 14. But I want you to try to find the other 24 down through the week. I didn't even write them down. But the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. In old age, they shall be fat and flourishing. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. There's some fallow ground that needs to be plowed up in our lives. Brothers, it doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how young we are. Praise His name this morning. God is still wanting to use us. God is still wanting to plow up that place in your life that has never been plowed up. And praise His name this morning. There's no place to stop. Why is God telling us to break up the fallow ground? He said, because unprepared, unplowed ground won't let crops grow. Won't let them grow to full maturity. In 1 Corinthians 3, 1, 2, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. He's not talking to lost people there. You understand that? He's not talking to somebody that's out in the world. He's talking to people maybe that come to church every Sunday. He's talking to people that maybe have come to church all their lives. That's who he's talking to sometimes. Listen to me. It's time to get off the milk of the word and get a hold of the meat of the word, plow up fallow ground and get the roots and the trees and the stumps and the briars out of it. And let's grab a hold of the horns of the altar and God, use me for whatever now you need to use me for. We as individuals in the church need to be constantly asking God to help us to grow. Let me ask you a heartfelt question. And this is just between everybody in here. Everybody from here clear to the back. When was the last time you asked God to help you grow spiritually? And I'm meaning sincerely ask Him to help you to grow spiritually. When's the last time? That's just a question. That question falls to me too. That falls to the preachers, that falls to anybody. But when was the last time you say, Lord, help me to grow spiritually in your word. Help me to grow spiritually. Help the Spirit to move in my life. 1 Peter, we as individuals, as a church, need to be consistently asking God for us to grow. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 8 describes spiritual growth. I want to read that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Turn there if you would, please. 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 through 8. What it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. Have you grab a hold of that? There have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be what? Barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. You talk about spiritual growth. What he's telling us is, if you are asking God for these things in your life, you will not be barren in the Word of God. Isn't that awesome? That is a promise. That's what he's talking about. He's given to us precious, exceeding great, and precious promises. And there's a lot of them in this Word. And brothers and sisters, sometimes we skip right over them. Properly prepared soil allows for good root penetration. Am I right? That's important in the physical realm. That's important in the spiritual realm as well. The seed penetrates the soil and the roots go down into the soil. I remember a few years ago when Stephanie and Mike lived up on South Parkersburg. They had a beautiful garden in their backyard one year. Had corn and a lot of different things. Well, a big windstorm came, a storm came through and knocked all that corn over, knocked it all over. And I will never forget, Stephanie and Mike went out there and took each individual stalk and stood it up, put the roots had were deep enough that it just blew them over. They stood them back up, they got them back straightened up, and they had corn later on that year. But that's what they did. I just remember them doing that. Brothers and sisters, that's because the roots went deep. Now, how many of you know in here we are going to face storms in our lives? I don't know what 2022 holds for you, but Patty just mentioned what was going on in her life a year ago, probably today or this past week. She just mentioned it. I'm just here to tell you, a storm can come out of nowhere. But praise the Lord, if you plow up the fallow ground and you get the roots deep enough, I'm telling you right now, when the storms come, you ain't going to be easily destroyed. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we don't grab that concept. We think that, well, we'll just lumber along. We'll just go along just as we are. And, but brothers and sisters, God's got so much more for us. Folks, we understand storms are coming, and some worse than others. But they are coming. Jesus told us this. These things I've spoken to you that you might have peace. Remember? In this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trials. You're going to have problems. You're going to have stuff like Patty had. But be of good cheer. Guess what? I've overcome this world. He's overcome it. If you want to produce more for God in your life, you're going to have to break up the fallow ground that has never been touched in your life. Praise God. You can stay right where you're at. You can just idle along. You can idle along if you want to. Praise God. That's not what I want. I hope that the places in your life that have never been put to use for God. It may take some time to see a harvest, right? You don't plant corn and get ears of corn off of it the next day or the next week, right? It takes a while. Brothers and sisters, there are going to be times you're going to plow up the fallow ground, you're going to plant seed in that fallow ground, and you're going to think, well, God, I've done what you told me. Nothing's happened. Be patient. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Patience is not one of my virtues. I'm just here to tell you. I don't know about the rest of you. Patience is not one of my virtues. It's really not. I've been asking God, and I don't ask Him for patience anymore, because when I do, I get hammered. But I've been praying, Lord, help me with my patience. Help me with it. There have been plenty of times you plow and you don't see results overnight. I'm convinced that you will see results, though. Genesis 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we do what? If we faint not. If we faint not. Praise His name this morning. Listen, now understand, there is ground in my life and then yours that has never been plowed. There are areas in my life that I have left alone. I'm going to be one to admit to you that I need to plow up the fallow ground. God's looking at me and saying, I blessed you. I blessed you in these areas over here. I blessed you over here in this field. But Dave, I want to bless you in other areas of your life. And that's what He has been impressing upon me, as I said. And I'm telling that to you here this morning. God is wanting to bless in other areas of your life if you're just willing to let Him grab a hold of it and do it. Fallow ground in your life, just be aware. Big blessings. There are blessings waiting. How much more time are you willing to invest making your fallow ground ready? Over in Matthew 13:44, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field where a man found it. He hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. If you knew what God had a blessing over here for you, you'd invest as much as you could in that over there. I'm not talking just spiritually. I'm not talking financially. I hope you understand this is not just about money. It's not, matter of fact, it's very little to do with money. There's other areas of our life that we need to plow up the fallow ground and we need to plant seed in and we need to do this, that God will bless in a mighty way. That the treasure in our life is the biggest blessing in our life, right? Could it be unplowed ground? Maybe where that blessing's at? And for whatever reason, you've made a decision just to leave it alone and not even touch it. And God's wanting us to do that. Break up your fallow ground. Sow not amongst the thorns. Just like the farmers back home, what obstacles are hindering you from plowing up your fallow ground? The tree can be the obvious thing. You know, the trees in our life are obvious. You know, there's some things in my life that are very obvious that God has dealt with me on. But brother says, I can cut those trees down. And I have. But after a while, if I don't dig up the roots, guess what sprouts back up through? And it does. And we got a little right behind where we live down here on the bank right behind the house. We cleaned that all off when we first moved in down there there was a bunch of little trees and a bunch of different things back behind it. And we cleaned it off and now Tink mows it and stuff. But I seen where I cut this one little tree, this tree off down there, and it wasn't even by the next spring there were sprouts coming up out of the ground like that from around that tree. Had to cut it out. Had to get the roots out of there. I had to get them out. Don't play around. Don't play around with things in your life. Dig the roots out and get it out of there. Don't play around with it. Have you ever tried to get a root out of the ground? It takes time and it takes effort. Especially if a big tree. It takes time. Removing a stump is harder than cutting the tree down. Sometimes the obvious things, you know, we can get them out of the way pretty fast. But it's those underlying things. It's those things underneath the ground sometimes that we don't mess with every day. Maybe we don't see them every day until they sprout up in our lives. Those are the things that need to be taken out of there. I'm sure most of you know there are times if you leave the roots in the ground, things are going to spring back up. My question this morning is, are you willing to put the work into plowing up your fallow ground? Are you willing to put that work into it? That's a question for you. Are you willing to fast and pray? Are you willing to do that? I'm not going to sit here and ask you if you fast and pray. I'm not going to do that. That's up to you. It's between you and God. Matter of fact, you're not supposed to let anybody know when you fast and pray. But I'm just laying it out there to you. Some things only come out by what? By fasting and prayer. And brothers and sisters, there are some roots. There are some stumps. There are some thorns. There's been some rocks in my life that only come out by fasting and prayer. You get that? And that's what I'm telling you here this morning. Then you're willing to believe it. Are you willing to dig deep into the Bible? Then are you willing to believe it? Will you allow yourself to be used by God in ways that you never thought were possible? Plow up your fallow ground. Don't be satisfied with the ground that's already dug. Dig into something different. Get into something new. There are areas of our life that we've already mastered, sure. But brother and sister, God wants to deal with those lives that aren't mastered, those areas that aren't. I say this without hesitation this morning. None of us are at our full potential in this church here this morning. Will you agree with me? There isn't one of us in here that's at full potential. Not when it comes to serving the Lord. There's not a one of us. It's time to plow up our fallow ground. It really is. It's time to plow it up and say, Lord, it's time for you. Lord, let you to have your way in my life. Are you willing to dig up the roots? One of the roots that I wrote down, the roots of fear. There's no limits to what our brain can concoct as far as fear goes. Do you know that? Some legitimate and some irrational. But there's no limits to what our brains can concoct when it comes to fear. But either way, we can find hope. We have an anchor when fear comes searching for us. Do we not? There's some times in my life, I use this, whenever my sister passed away, whenever she was 11 years old, I remember this. I got saved shortly there. It probably was within a month after she passed away, I got saved. But I remember every time that one of my brothers and sisters got sick, I just went into a tizzy. I was scared to death. Because why? I was afraid, well, are they going to be the next one? They're going to be the next one? One day, it's probably about a year later, I mean, I've dealt with this for over a year. Lord spoke to me, my brother or my sister got sick. And the Lord said, I'm greater than this, Dave. I'm greater than this. And I got on my knees and prayed. And you know, he took that from me. It was him. I couldn't do it on my own. But there's no limit, because the Bible has a lot to say about fear. As a matter of fact, the words fear not or versions of it appear 365 times in the Bible. He didn't want us to fear. He doesn't want us to do that. It is the most, I want you to get this, the most repeated command in the Bible is not to fear. But yet, what do we do so many times? We fear. I'm not talking about being stupid about things, and you know that. I'm not talking about, well, just throw the mask away and go. I'm not saying that. What I'm telling you is, though, when you've done all that you can do, don't swivel up in a corner somewhere and think there's I kill, woe is me. We serve a big God. Because the Bible is the most repeated command in the Bible. When the Bible says, fear not, is telling us not to allow anxiety and fretfulness to rule over our lives. That's what it's saying. And take root in our hearts. Because when it takes roots in our hearts, brother and sister, you'll never be able to plow up that fallow ground right. Because you'll not be able to get that stump and that root removed. When we allow this to happen, we'll never be able to do that. We are not commanded, and I'm going to say this, we are not commanded to be people of fear. We are commanded to be people of what? Faith. I've never seen anywhere in this Bible where it says we're commanded to be people of fear. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Another one is, don't let the roots of bitterness lay in your heart either. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We've all at some times in our life tasted something that was bitter. Have you ever ate a persimmon when it wasn't ripe? Oh, it'll make your mouth pucker right up. We used to, when I used to go out coon hunting, there used to be a persimmon tree. We'd go up there and a guy'd go with me. He'd say, well, get your persimmon off here. And I was young and dumb. And I got one off of it and I took it and it was bad. It was bad. Bitterness means this. That's something that tastes bad, disagreeable, or venomous. Bitterness is what the Bible says in Ephesians 4, is a person who willfully holds angry feelings. If you are willfully holding angry feelings in your life towards somebody, that is a root, that is something, that is a stone, that is something right there, brothers, that needs to be dug up, and I'm telling you, it needs to be burned. It needs to be burned. They can, you know, in a person who's all willfully holding angry feelings are always ready to take offense. And they can break into an anger at any moment. They have a spirit that refuses reconciliation. That is somebody with bitterness. I can say I've known people like that in my life. And brothers and sisters, unfortunately, I've known Christians like this. You say, well, David, I've known Christians like this. They wouldn't, and if you got to talking to them deep and bitter, I know them. If you have got a root of bitterness in your life, you'll never be able to plow up your fallow ground. The root of jealousy, that's another one. In order for us to serve in the body of Christ and bear good fruit, we must clear out the trees and the roots that work of the flesh. And one of them is jealousy. Because of jealousy, Satan was kicked out of heaven. I want to ask you a question. I mentioned this to Kim here this morning. I heard this morning, by the way, and it kind of blew me away. Do you know where the first sin was committed? Do you know that? Just think about that. You know where the first sin was committed? In heaven. Remember when Satan? Remember what Satan did? Oh, yeah. He rebelled. I heard a preacher say that this morning. I thought, really? I got to think about it. Yeah, Satan did rebel because of jealousy. Because of jealousy, Satan was kicked out of heaven. The first death, the first murder, was because of jealousy on this earth. Remember? Cain and Abel? Jezebel had who killed? She had the owner of the vineyard. Oh, what was his name? Nahab. He was killed. Because Ahab was jealous and he wanted his vineyard. She had him killed. So serious is jealousy that it's the 10th commandment. What's it say? Which warns us, but it gets coveting against anything of our neighbor's property. And when you fail to root out jealousy, I want it just understood, you'll not see wonderful things of God. You'll not see it. You'll not be able to plow up that area of your life that needs to be plowed up, that needs to be rooted out. You'll not be able to do it. Some folks have areas where they've walked off with hardened hearts. Remember, we talked about the hardened soil over in Matthew 13? The seed was thrown out. Some people have hard hearts about some things. And he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, or instantly, with joy receiveth it. Yet has he not root in himself, but endureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by they are offended. I got to thinking about that, and God showed me something about that. Because of the word, by and by is offended. Can you see the importance of preparing the soil first before I get into that? Stumps and rocks have to go. And there are areas that are stubborn about it, but don't allow God to move in. And these words that come, listen, whenever it says there, and by the word they are offended, do you realize that there are some Christians that when they read some parts of this Bible, they are offended by it? You know that? And whenever they get offended by it, God can't help them to grow. He can't help them to see. And probably none of us like to be quarantined, right? None of us do. We do it. None of us, whether it's self or whether it's imposed upon us, none of us like that. Then why do we take areas of God and we quarantine Him from those areas in our life? Why do we do that for? We don't like to be quarantined, but yet we're doing that to God. We won't open up ourselves to the working of the Spirit. How many of you prayed a prayer and it wasn't answered the way you thought it should be? I have. And honestly, if you're honest with yourself, you pray a prayer sometimes. Well, I got me thinking because Greg said something about Michelle the other day in her prayers. I like that, by the way. And I got to think about it. All of us have had prayers that we've had that we've never got, you know. And if you read scripture like Matthew 21, 22, and all things whatsoever you ask in prayer and believe, you shall receive. Right? You read that and you think, or 1 John 5, 14, 15, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us, and if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. I believe there are times that we take the Word of God, and what happens is, that Word of God, we hear that scriptures and stuff like right there, and when our prayers aren't answered, the devil's standing on our shoulder saying, see, God doesn't answer prayers. See, the Bible's wrong. See, this isn't right. This is, and people get to the point to where they'll say, well, maybe God doesn't hear our prayers. Maybe the Bible isn't right. That's why I say it's dangerous sometimes when we read scripture like that. Brothers and sisters, I got to ask you a personal question. I got to ask you this. I know most of you in here probably follow your sports teams, but how many of you, whenever your sports team lets you down in a way, you go back and you watch them the next year anyway? You go back to them because you like watching, following your team, right? You do. Don't just be honest with yourself. We do. We do that. Brothers and sisters, just because a prayer isn't answered doesn't mean that the Word of God is not true. I does not believe that whatsoever. There's God's will. I understand that. There's a lot of different things in this Word. But brothers and sisters, we've allowed the devil to say, well, that scripture's not right. The Bible's not right. God doesn't answer prayer. We've allowed that, and we've hardened our heart and not pray in faith believing anymore. Whenever you pray for something, you better sure well believe it's going to happen the way that you prayed. All right? You get on your knees and you're praying, you better pray when you're praying for it. Believe it. And say, God, at the end of it, you say, God, your will be not mine done. But you better believe it's going to be answered. Amen. Anyone who's asked anything without faith is not right. That's what the Bible says, right? I'm just here to tell you this morning. Yet he, not rooted himself, but endures for a while, for in tribulation or persecution rises because of the word, and he is offended. I believe, brothers and sisters, there are times persecution rises because of the word. They fall away, and as they have problems, they persecute and believe in God's word. Do you realize that doubt will whisper in your ear not to believe the Bible? Do you believe that? There's doubt. There has been doubt that will whisper in your ear and tell you the Bible is not true. God doesn't hear your prayer. The Bible, that area of your life can be hardened over. I'm going to end with this morning as they get a song ready. I'm here to tell you this morning. Praise God this morning. I believe there are areas in our life, and I'm going to say it for one last time, all of our life, that God is wanting to plow up. But you're going to have to clear it off, or you're going to have to clear it off first. You're going to have to dig up the roots. You're going to have to burn them. You're right, Larry. You're going to have to burn them. You're going to have to clear the thistles. You're going to have to clear the briars. You're going to have to plow it up, and then God's going to use it. You're going to have to plant the seed. You plant the seed, and you watch God make it grow. Amen. Right? Amen. All right, get a song, Julie, please.